Lending for real estate investing has exploded. All types of lending, 15-year loans, 30-year loans, fix and flip loans, refinance loans. Let's make our way through all of it on today's show. Hey everyone, I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor. Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate show. This is the show where we try to help you build financial intelligence, build financial freedom. And the vehicle that we use here on the show is buy and hold real estate. That's what we do. We focus on that. We're not so much focused on the fixing and flipping or anything else, just buy and hold for the purposes of cash flow. That is what we do. We've got a special guest on today's show. His name is David Orloff. He's the CFO at American Heritage Lending. And David is going to join us now to talk about all of the different changes that have emerged over the past couple of years in the lending business and how real estate investors really have a cornucopia of lending options available to them at any given time. Plus, we'll dive in deep into some of the rate increases, what this looks like for the market, and are we seeing a slowdown, an increase? All of that we'll talk about on today's show. David, welcome to the Investing in Real Estate show. Nice to see you today.
Oh, it's great to see you. Thanks for having me, Clayton. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you are knee deep right now in a segment of the economy, of the real estate economy, where people are very fascinated about what's happening with rates. And are we seeing a slowdown, an uptick, all of those things? So let's get that out of the way first before we kind of dive into all the different programs and all the things that are available. So what are you guys seeing right now at American Heritage Lending? Is there an appetite for these loans right now, or because we're seeing this, the Fed increase rates, are we seeing a bit of a slowdown?
That's a great question, and certainly a question everybody's thinking about, looking for answers for. And I'll tell you that, you know, if you track what the Fed is saying, we're going to see more rate increases throughout this year. They're up significantly from last year on a percentage basis, which, as you'd expect, really shuts down sort of the refinance line of business for traditional lenders. The purchase market we've seen slow a little bit. I don't think it's yet a buyer's market. I've read a lot that says that may be around the corner. We'll see when, you know, kind of economy picks back up at the first of the year. But the rate increases that we've seen thus far really affect more of the refi side of the business, not necessarily market values or the purchase side of the business.
Why is that on the refi side? And we have a lot of clients that we work with at Morris Invest who do refinances on their rental properties. Are you talking about refinancing on a primary residence? Is that what's most affected in this?
It is. It's sort of, you know, I locked in my rates in the threes and now rates are in the fives and there's not a real benefit for me to borrow or go into another 30-year loan at the fives. But you know, I don't mean to segue for you, but you bring up a very interesting point. As that business and volume has dried up, Wall Street and all the conduits that are out lending money have really made a significant investment and thesis around real estate investors. And they're now providing loans that traditionally I would say were more categorically underwritten like commercial loans, where they're looking at the income that the property generates versus that borrower on their underwrite. So you're seeing real estate investors for the first time be able to submit very little documentation, get these 30-year fixed rates in the low fives and sixes that for years, for as long as I've been in this business, almost 20 years, they've never taken that underwriting methodology and applied it to residential property. So I think that's something to be really, really excited about for your listeners and clients is that this rental buy and hold strategy using leverage to increase returns at what I would call very, very normal rates as compared to primary residents is an opportunity for a lot of people right now.
So why has Wall Street taken on this larger appetite for residential real estate investment? What about that sector is so attractive to them right now? You would think that they might be at sort of at odds with that sector.
Well, when you can figure out how Wall Street thinks and works, you're going to have to give me a call.
Right.
My best guess, Clayton, it's a wonderful question, is just the volume dried up in a channel. And they make their money through securitizing these pools of loans. And so to them, an underserved market or niche were real estate investors who potentially were locked out of this market. And you may have heard, you know, you can only have a certain limited number of financed properties, and that could be a limiting factor. Or your debt-to-income ratio didn't work. And anything on that borrower underwriting spectrum has locked these folks kind of out of the market and being able to participate in these loans. So my thesis is simply, or thought, it's more than a, less than a thesis, is that Wall Street sort of said, there's this underserved market. The economics make sense to us because these properties are positive cash flow, and we look at these debt service coverage ratios. Now we're underwriting the collateral and the asset as much, if not more, than the borrower, and we feel very comfortable making these loans. These are professionals. They know how to manage assets. And I think it, I really think it's one of the smarter moves I've seen in loan programs come out in the last, you know, there hasn't been much innovation, but in the last 10 years, I would say this is a very, very exciting loan program from my eyes, from my perspective.
Well, I think you bring up a great point, which is that Wall Street, now they're looking at the asset a certain way. They're looking at a tangible asset, okay, not some pie-in-the-sky asset, which is what they were underwriting back in 2007, 2008, right? Now there's a tangible house asset. They were, back then, they were underwriting people that didn't have jobs, right? No income, no job, right? And that's what they were underwriting for all intents and purposes in an overinflated bubble, you know, bubble market. Now they're actually looking at the asset, and kind of walk me through like what you guys do when you're looking at an asset to underwrite and to go through that process. What are you taking into account when you're looking at that asset?
Another great question, and I'm going to oversimplify, but the basis of that underwrite is what we call this debt service coverage ratio. And it's just simply, if you have debt service of $2,000 a month and you have rent at $2,500 a month, we can simply see that that is a positive or over one debt service coverage ratio. And we love that deal. We love that deal to 80-85% loan to value. And although that's not 100% of the underwrite, that is the majority. So we're really looking at just simply a lease agreement, cash flows generated off that asset, and then, you know, some borrower underwrite, you know, are they a person who has a tendency to pay their bills and do the right thing with their credit? And again, I'm oversimplifying, but Clayton, that is really how we look at the underwrite is what is this asset generating versus what is the debt service to carry that asset?
And you guys are outside of the FHA program, right? So you guys get to dictate really what you want, right?
It's a great question. So yeah, these are outside of FHA, VA conventional guidelines. These are guidelines prepared from Wall Street and kind of, you know, diluted down to people that are in the business of originating these loans for real estate investors, but it is a whole separate segment of the guidelines that people are used to in traditional financing.
Today's episode is brought to you by BlueChew.com. Blue Chew. You guys remember the days when you were always ready to go? I don't know if your younger days. Well, now you can increase your performance and get that little extra confidence in bed. Listen up. The folks from Blue Chew are back. We have a lot of men who listen to this show. And guess what? A lot of women who listen to this show who actually ordered a lot of Blue Chew for their loved ones. And it's, you know, they like it. And the reason they like it is because it brings you the first chewable with the same FDA approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So, you know, it's the real deal and it's the stuff that works. So you can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys with dysfunction or any, it's for any guy who wants extra function and to enhance their performance in the bedroom. So the reason they're back is because they said, you know what? We love the response that your audience gave us. And guess what? I had to try it too the other night. And my wife said, wow, this is great. So it's not just for guys with dysfunction. It's for any guy who wants that extra function. So Blue Chew is prescribed online, ships straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Guess what? Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners, and I know you're going to try it again because so many of you did before. All you have to do is go to bluechew.com, and you get your first shipment for free. For free. Just try it. I'm telling you. And maybe make it as a surprise. You know? Surprise your significant other. See what they say. And you have to use the coupon code INVESTING. All you have to do is pay the shipping. It's $5. Again, that's bluechew.com and use the promo code INVESTING and you'll try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast once again. And thanks to all of you for trying them for free. So let's dive into some of the different programs you guys have available. So the people that are watching this show right now, and they know our mantra, we're doing homes in the $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 range is kind of our bread and butter. Some of our properties, you know, go over $100,000 and so forth. But I think the bulk of what I buy is going to be in that $50,000, $60,000 range. If we were to come to you and say, hey, I've got these five properties, I would love to refinance them, they're cash flowing, what would you need to see? And what buffet would you put before me to choose from? Buffet of financing of options?
Good question. So I'm gonna answer that from a loan program perspective, not an underwriting perspective, because I think we've kind of covered that. So these loans have your typical fixed to adjustable loans, your 3-1, 5-1, 7-1, 10-1 arms. They can be interest only. There's just a slight rate increase for that. And then we have 15-year and 30-year loan programs available for this as well, both of which can also be interest only. And I think, I don't know your philosophy, Clayton. I know I did read your book, How to Pay Off Your Mortgage, and I like that book quite a bit. So I don't want to say this, but we do have people whose appetite is for more cash flow today, and they really, really, really like these interest-only options. Certainly, the fully amortized loans are available as well.
Great. So now, when you're looking at, if a client would come to you, one of our clients, and by the way, we'll have a link in the description below so people can take you up on your offer and your services and to look into refinancing, getting lending on different rental properties and be able to take advantage of what you guys offer. But if someone comes to you and says, okay, I have these two properties, you know, $60,000 properties, they've been burning and churning for me for a few years, that's been renting for $800 a month. What would you suggest to that person to pull equity out to be able to buy additional third, fourth, fifth properties?
You and I are on the very same page. So I think real estate is a game measured by number of doors, right? And I think that the way to increase not only the scale of your business in terms of how many doors under management or under ownership, but I also look at it and say, if you can use a leveraged return figure carefully, you and I both know that getting financially independent does come somewhat quicker through the use of leverage. So I'm not advertising and suggesting everybody use it wildly, but if you can use these loan programs and still keep your investment working and positive cash flow and go buy 2, 3, 4, 5 more houses and repeat that formula, it is over the long term a pretty significant strategy for scaling your business.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be able to do that where the first few properties that I bought cash and then being able to pull equity out of those properties, roll those into my next properties, and before you know it, it's the snowball effect and you've hit financial freedom after a short amount of time. What are some things to consider for people who maybe ask the question, what about my personal credit? Where do they need to be on personal credit scores? Even though you're looking at the asset, mostly you're looking at the cash flow, you're looking at the appraised value in the house and the neighborhood, and you're looking at what it can do. How much are you looking at the person in this situation?
So the underwrite at the borrower level, we certainly are going to take a look at the credit, and it's more about what we call, credit events. We hope that there's not foreclosures and bankruptcies in the very recent future. We understand 2007 to 2008 was a very, very dark period for a lot of us real estate investors and just regular old Joes. But we're looking less at the score in this underwrite than we're looking at the credit events. So, you know, those are really just those foreclosures, bankruptcies, and mortgage delinquencies or mortgage lates. The credit profile can be down below the 600s. I know everyone's kind of tuned into these FICO score metrics. So you do not have to have perfect credit to get these loans, which again is, to me, when you bounce that off, what it takes to qualify for a non-owner occupied investment property cash out refinance through Fannie Mae, it's amazing, almost a night and day difference on how we look at putting that file together, even from the borrower's perspective.
Oh, yeah. It's an absolute paperwork nightmare to go through the FHA program and do it. Oh, so yeah, to be able to work with private money, hard money lenders on the other side of things is a breath of fresh air. Today's episode is brought to you by Robinhood. All right, what is Robinhood? Well, it's an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs. You know, I've been investing in ETFs for many, many years. Options, cryptos, if you want to buy some Bitcoins, it doesn't matter. All commission free. That's how Robinhood works. And guess what? If you stick around to the end of this little ad, you're going to get a free stock. I'm going to tell you how you get a free stock and be in like Apple or Ford or Sprint. It doesn't matter. They're going to give you a free stock. I'll tell you how. So they strive at Robinhood to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. It's not intimidating. It's a way for the stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. They have a simple and intuitive, clear design with their data, and it's easy to use. So let me just tell you about my experience with Robinhood. Signed up for Robinhood, super easy to use, and the app was just super simple. Makes it so very easy to see what you're investing in and how to run the show. I mean, some of this stuff can be really overwhelming to people. That's why they never take the leap. They never get involved in investing at all, whether it's real estate or stocks or gold. It doesn't matter. You can do all of that very, very simply with Robinhood. And no commissions or fees. Other brokerages charge up to like $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. You can trade stocks and all of that and keep all of your profits. Very, very easy to understand charts and market data, helps you understand exactly what's going on. Their web platform, also great. Stock selections right there. They show you the 100 most popular ones in the entertainment and social media sectors and different things. Female CEOs. So if that's really important to you, you want to invest in companies with female CEOs, et cetera, you can do all of that. So just learn by doing. So you can learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. So if it's ETFs or gold or cryptos, it doesn't matter. You can do all of that. And you can get custom notifications for different price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. So Robinhood is going to give listeners a free stock in something like Apple. So I invest in Apple. That's one company I know very, very well. So you can invest, they'll give you a free stock in Apple, Ford, Sprint, doesn't matter, to help build your portfolio. They're going to give you a free stock. Are you crazy? So sign up today at investing. So it's investing.robinhood.com. Very, very important you understand that URL. It's investing.robinhood.com. Investing.robinhood.com. Check them out today and get your free stock. You can't go wrong. Where do you see things going in the next year? Where do you see things going in this marketplace right now? Both from, let's run the gamut. Let's talk new construction. Let's talk rental investing. And let's talk retail, home buyer. Let's talk about those three categories. Where do you see things going from your perspective?
I'd say that the toughest one to answer might be new construction. We do have loan programs available for folks that are doing ground up construction. Be less about spec home building today and more about infill projects. What I mean by that is simply there's a really, really beat up house. Let's take it down. Let's put another house back up in an area where it's very simple for us to understand what that as repaired value might look like for the asset. I think that is less market volatility oriented. So I think that business is going to stay pretty constant. Your second question was about where do I see sort of the real estate investor market and what kind of activity do we see? I've talked to a lot of real estate investors that are growing their portfolio aggressively. And I think hopefully with some of these loan programs, my expectation is that business is going to grow rapidly in 2019. I think that the ability for some of these systems people have generated to find houses either at or below market value, to put renters in, to experience positive cash flow, I'm really shocked to find how much opportunity there is out there versus what you'd expect. And being here in California, our prices are so high, it's kind of hard to get your rental income above your debt service. So
right.
I across the country and talking about your $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 price tag on homes, I think that market is really, I don't want to say going to explode, but it is going to increase rapidly over the next 12 months. And then I think your retail market, the best guess I have is it's going to sort of drift sideways. I don't really see it going up. Could it come down a little bit? Yes. I think your higher end, you know, over $1 million stuff, that's really not important to your viewership. But I think that we've already seen that soften here in Southern California where I'm located. And I don't know if that's due to these, mortgage interest write-offs. I really don't know if it's just those buyers are not buying. So we might see more of that, but I think, you know, in the areas where you've got the median home prices in that $80,000 to $200,000 range, I think we probably just go sideways here on value.
Yeah. Well, fantastic stuff, David. It's been great talking with you. And like I said, we'll be able to have everyone be able to connect. Just hit the link in the description below so they can connect with you. What should they have prepared? Let's say they click that link, they're going to make a phone call with you guys and walk through that process. You guys were kind enough to set up a nice custom landing page for us, which is great. So anyone who's watching here will feel right at home there. But what should people have prepared when they come and call you? Should they have a purchase agreement? Should they have a lease agreement? Should they have sort of a rental history? What paperwork should they have in place before they give you a call?
For the rental investors, it would be nice to have the lease agreement, kind of the history of where they've either had their financing, so a copy of a mortgage statement so we can get, we have an understanding of where the debt stands today. And that's about it. It's a very, very simple underwrite, and it'd be an easy conversation, couple minute conversation to figure out if it's a program that it makes sense for them.
Perfect. Well, Dave, thanks so much for joining us. My guest has been Dave Orloff from American Heritage Lending. Dave, great to meet you. Thanks so much for joining us from Southern California.
Thank you so much, Clayton. It was a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. Thanks, Dave. And thanks to all of you at home for downloading and subscribing. If you're not already a subscriber, please hit the subscribe button and share this with someone that you love and who you know could use the benefit of growing their financial intelligence as well. I believe rental real estate is the number one way to build wealth. So now go out there, take action, and become a real estate investor. We'll see you next time, everyone.